Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this congregation that does know radical hospitality. I pray that you would renew each of us today. And you know that our biggest strengths are also our biggest weaknesses. So I pray that today you would speak to us, each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:8 and 9 says, above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Hospitality is our theme today as we finish this month's four major themes of spiritual growth. The first one says, each one of you has a holy space within you, and you need to cultivate that in the same way that you take care of your body. But our bodies and souls are not separate. It's all just one human being. Then we, along with understanding that we have a holy space within ourselves, we accept that failure and grief are one of the major ways that God works with us. It's not just encouragement and blessing, but it's the failure and grief that work in our hearts. Thirdly, the awareness of death is what shapes our understanding of God's life now and later. And today, we want to finish it off with everything we are and have is a gift from God to be held in open hands and given freely. Surrender. We can only practice hospitality if we know that we are being cared for by God and that God will continue to care for us. My friend tells of being welcomed by the family of friends when she was in Senegal with the Peace Corps. She was dismayed when she was leaving the family when they went out into the yard and they caught one of their chickens and they tied its feet together, turned it upside down like a tote bag and gave it to her and pressed it upon her to take home on the bus. She was dismayed because she was receiving food and all she needed from the Peace Corps that while she was there. And she knew that the family had limited food resources. She didn't want to take their chicken away from them. The family wouldn't listen to her, and they just pressed it on her and gave her a precious gift. And she's carried that precious gift of hospitality in her heart, home in Senegal, and then now where she lives in Philadelphia. It changes us to receive hospitality that we don't deserve. Can we open our hearts this morning to God's hospitality? It takes humility. We want to say that we don't have anything that we haven't earned. When we kneel at the cross, our sins roll away, and our delusions that we are masters of our own life roll away. Hospitality is freely given and freely received. It is not a commercial transaction, so it's not fun. You can't control it until you jump into it. American weddings and receptions are a trip, aren't they? You figure the location, the number of guests, the reception cost per head, and you negotiate an invitation list with your partner. Omar still has not forgiven me, for there were several people at Riverview Church that we didn't fit into our guest list, and he remembers exactly who that was. Only those who are invited are allowed into an American reception. The richer your family, the more carefully the non-invited are excluded. Now, you invite people who invite you. It's like a commercial. You give and take. It's a commercial transaction. Hospitality is not entertainment. as I was, entertainment is maybe a show doing something for somebody, but hospitality is opening your heart. Hospitality is freely given, but hospitality cannot be extended without a strong sense of who the host is and what they are sharing. Squatting in an abandoned house that nobody is minding is different from being welcomed into a place, however humble, that is someone's home. Just letting people do whatever they want with you and your life is not hospitality. There are three generations of hospitality in the passage before you this morning. John the Baptist shared his calling, his insight into Jesus as the Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. We don't associate John the Baptist with a residence or with his possessions because he lived in the wilderness and he wore sturdy, simple clothes. I think he wore the same thing every day, right? He was an Old Testament prophet. He was lonely. The last one had been 400 years. He was a lonely guy out in the wilderness, out of touch with the times. When John is beheaded because he told the truth to Herod about his life, Jesus eulogizes him in this way. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of... Was that me with my microphone, or was that God? Okay. Wow, what did I do to that mic? Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. That's... What would it be like to be John the Baptist? Each of us living in these last days, the days of grace and mercy following the resurrection, following the giving of the Holy Spirit, we can be the least in the kingdom of heaven and greater than John the Baptist, that Old Testament prophet who lived with his, he had to live on his own terms. There was nobody to follow, nobody to copy. We may be called upon to give up our popularity with a word pointing people to Christ. Any of us who have a reputation, who feel maybe we're effective or useful, not to mention have some kind of possessions, we're called upon to hold it with an open palm. John the Baptist had a few followers. He was respected as a little bit crazy, but a man of God. He gave it all away when Jesus walked by and he pointed a finger and he said, there's the Lamb of God. Christ walked by, turned around and speaks to the disciples John has released to him. Christ has his heart open. What do you seek? The disciples want to know who he is, what he is like. Rabbi, where are you staying? Jesus lived in such a way that there was nothing to hide from others, people. He had lots of private time with God. He wasn't just always with people, but he didn't have anything to hide. He can invite people home at the 10th hour. And in it's the 10th hour, it's 10 hours from 6 a.m. The Roman time was calculated from 6 a.m. So we think it's about 4. I noticed the translation says 4 p.m. And if it was the Sabbath, his new friends would have had to stay 24 hours until the sun went down on Saturday. It was no problem to him to have people come in and stay with him for an hour, for a whole day. Jesus is an adult without a home, so he would be staying with friends. What would Jesus' room be like? How do you think he kept it? Did he have stacks of Torah scrolls all over everything? Did the women of the house do the cooking for these disciples? It's like, I've got 6 extra for dinner tonight. Or did Jesus cook? We know that Jesus could start a charcoal fire and grill fish, because he does it in John 21. Mm-hmm. He knew how to start the fire, and he knows how to cook fish. But we don't know whether he cooked or whether he says, Peter's mom, could you fix something for us? We don't know. We don't know how that operated. We don't know how he lived. We don't know anything about him, about how he lived. The disciples, one of whom we are told was Andrew, takes the first step of hospitality, which is to receive humbly and freely. You know, people say, oh no, I couldn't possibly. Andrew next brings his brother to receive the hospitality of Christ. Soon, the disciples will be the ones learning to hold their hearts and their lives open and to give freely without counting the cost. Hospitality is a message that's hard for me to hear this passage because of the way my life is going. This is God for us this morning. This is the path of hospitality.
Okay, I would have
as followers of Christ.
Wow, it's so cool.